Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff Mom Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. And we're back with our second part of our two-part look, classic on fan fiction. And I know we've talked about shipping, and you're not really into shipping, which is a lot of what fan fiction can be. But if you did read fan fiction, what do you think you would read?
I honestly don't know.
I mean, like Twilight is one, like you said.
I guess so. In that, technically would have been the Twilight
thing.
Harry Potter
and
that was
fan
a long time
fiction.
Ago. I couldn't read it now, I don't think, I'm just in a different space in life, understanding different things and likes are different. This is why I think I have a problem right now, because I hardly read as it is, except for when we do our feminist book club.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me sad because I used to love to read. But again, my stuff was maybe in the tragedy level, murder mystery level, if there are things like that. I don't necessarily care about the shipping. That's not something that's been a part of, like, I need this to happen. Because I don't know if I just accept what it is. Maybe I don't have a good imagination. But I love, like, you know, Southern Gothic is my favorite form of probably things that I really, 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 really love. Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to think on beyond that.
Yeah. I mean, all of that stuff does exist, believe me. And I will say about shipping, like, I think for me, this isn't the case for a lot of people, but for me, shipping is fun when it's like, I don't want this to happen, or I'm glad it didn't happen, or I know it never will happen, and that's okay, but at least I can read about it in fan fiction.
Right.
Because I'm not really a romantic person, but I do like sweet, like, relationships, kind of like innocent, loving, caring relationships that don't really involve sex, which a lot of times is what fan fiction is, even though it's been totally misinterpreted as like a place where all kinds of sex is going down. It's usually just like domestic, what's called curtain fic, of just like, oh, this couple cares about each other and they take care of each other. It's very sweet.
Oh.
Yeah. Somebody asked me the other day of like, how much do you read? And I was like, well, my problem is every time I try to read a book now, I think I could be reading fan fiction. So I have kind of the opposite issue.
That's fair.
That is fair, I guess. I mean, I still read, but I'm often like, I thought I could be reading fan fiction or I could be writing fan fiction. But yes, we are bringing back this two-part classic on fan fiction that Bridget and I did. And in this one, I reveal my very embarrassing username, which I believe is still up. It's empty, but it's still there. You can find it. oh, I wish I hadn't deleted all my stories. I wish I'd left them up.
I know, me too.
Such a shame. Anyway, please enjoy the second part in our two-part look on fanfiction. Hello, this is Annie.
And this is Bridget.
And you're listening to Stuff Mom Never Told You. This is part two of our fanfiction extravaganza because, surprise, surprise, we were very excited to talk about fanfiction. If you haven't caught the first episode, go check it out. It was kind of more of a primer, the history, what is this fanfiction thing? And in this episode, we're going to look more into why it's mostly women writing fanfiction and slash.
Yeah, I was pretty surprised. I had no idea there were so many ins and outs to fanfiction. I thought it was going to be something that was sort of a quick overview, but when you actually look at the history, there's so much going on and it's so gendered. After part one of this episode aired, I was having a conversation with a friend and I was like, oh, we were talking about fanfiction. And he said, oh, isn't that a bunch of weirdos writing stories where Harry Potter and Gandalf have sex with each other? And I was able to say, no, that is a common fanfiction misconception. So I was pretty proud of how useful the information about fanfiction turned out to be in my own life.
I'm proud too, Bridget. Good for you, standing up for fanfiction. But yeah, let's dive right in, shall we?
Let's do it.
Yes, fanfic fear. That's what we're going to talk about. And it does largely seem to do with our anxieties around women and sexuality and male anxieties about women in their fandom.
Surprise, surprise. That's never come up here on the show.
No, never, never. And this fear of feminine media goes way back, too. Take this quote from a pastor from 1864. I have seen a young lady with her table loaded with volumes, loaded of fictitious trash, poring day after day and night after night over highly wrought scenes and skillfully portrayed pictures of romance until her cheeks grew pale, her eyes became wild and reckless, and her mind wandered and was lost. The light of intelligence passed behind a cloud, and her soul was forever benighted. She was insane, incurably insane from reading novels.
Is he describing you? Is that what you look like when you read fanfiction?
So I am a vampire. I wasn't planning on admitting it. Anne Rice is out to
Anne
get
Rice
me.
Anne Rice is right to be hunting you, Dad. Wait, is she behind you?
That's why I was so nervous before. Oh, no. I hope she doesn't listen to the show. She's going to come. She's going to come for me. I'm a vampire, though. Anyway, according to a survey from Fanfic, the fanfic site AO3 that we mentioned earlier, an overwhelming majority of fanfiction is written by people who identify as women. More identify as genderqueer at 6% than male at 4%, and only 38% identify as heterosexual. When AO3 was first coded, it marked the biggest majority female independent coding project ever.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. As to age demographics, to go back to that whole horny teenagers are the only ones writing this, that's not true. It depends on which site you look at, but it probably skews slightly older than you'd guess, like college-aged outside of Wattpad, which we talked about earlier.
See, this doesn't actually surprise me at all because I've often found that anything that involves sort of people-powered media, whether it's, you know, YouTube or independent content creation, those spaces tend to be heavily dominated by non-heterosexual men. So it's women, queer folks, non-binary folks, folks of color, like marginalized people really can find their voices in these alternative sources of, you know, creativity and media.
Yeah. I am kind of curious. I wonder how common it is for perhaps men to pretend to be women writing fan fiction or like choose a name that maybe you couldn't get a sense of whether or not they were male or female. But sort of like how in the video game world, a lot of female gamers, including myself, would choose a masculine sounding name, hopefully that people would leave us alone. Like, I wonder, I'm just curious if there's kind of an embarrassment or maybe even male fanfiction writers feel like they'd be more accepted.
What was your fanfiction handle?
It was Winded, W-Y-N-D-E-D.
What is that? Where did that come from? What's the origin of that?
Gosh, it's actually a really embarrassing story.
You don't have to tell it. We can tell it off air.
You can still look it up. It does exist, but there's nothing there. I deleted everything, unfortunately. I kind of wish there was something there for you. Maybe if I find them, I'll repost. God, this is so silly. Once I snuck onto the hometown I grew up in, had a really fancy neighborhood, really fancy, well-known. And I was just kind of curious about what went down in there. So when I was 8 or 9, I snuck in and I was looking around and these police roll up and they had a bunch of like big dogs, really scared me. And also, you know, I'm a young kid, it's police. And they asked me what my name was and I panicked. And I said, August Wind? Do you believe it?
Was it August? Tell me it was a windy night in August.
It was August.
George Glass.
It was August. And I'd like, it was clearly, thank you for laughing at my name. Thank you.
I'm sorry. But it being a windy August night, what's your name? August Wind.
And it was so clearly fake. But I like, did not abandon it. Like, I went all in.
Down with the ship.
And they're like, where are you from, August Wind? And I was like, oh, you know, neighbors down. They know me around here. August Wind, ask anyone.
I'm so glad I asked.
But then I turned it into, like, a pun, a play on winded, because I, you know, I was an emo teenager, and I was tired, and I was winded. But also, I was staying with my roots of my bad fake name that I made up when questioned.
That's such a good story.
Yeah, it wasn't one of my better fake names, but, you know, I gave you a swing and a miss, as they say. Away from my embarrassing pen names, but first, we're going to take a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. Here is a quote from Vox. There's a special ire reserved for the particular corner of the web where people make transformative works about the media they love. And given that this corner is primarily composed of young women, it's hard to avoid the conclusion that this ire is gendered. And also, apart from that, if you think about the gatekeeping of fandoms, it's largely done by men. And having women dominate this one particular aspect of fandom made a lot of men in the fandom uncomfortable. Like, what are you doing this weird thing in my fandom for? Another article, oh, this is the one I mentioned earlier from the Mary Sue, noted that the most vocal criticism of fanfiction is from male critics in an article titled, "When Men Write Fanfiction, It Isn't Fanfiction Because It's Academic."
Okay, that's bullshit. First of all, how is it that men are the most vocal critics of a landscape dominated by... For me, that just tells you all you need to know about how men show up in this space, and that sounds hostile.
It is. It's really hostile. And I found so many articles written by men that were criticizing fanfiction, and they were just so condescending and, like, dismissive, just kind of insulting about the people who would do this. And it was hard. Yeah, misogynistic. It kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. And there are a lot of theories as to why women make up a majority of the fan fiction community. One is that it allowed young girls and women traditionally excluded from fandom by default and from the world of professional writing and media making as well. It provided the space that they could enter freely and create empowering storylines that they weren't seeing anywhere else. Or even if the storylines weren't empowering, they felt empowered because they created them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know we're like a broken record on the show about this, but that really matters, you know, feeling like you're the one who is the author of your own story, that matters so much. And even if it's not an empowering story, knowing that you have a voice and that you are have a seat at the table as a creator is important. And I just hate seeing men shit on it because of their own hangups around gender.
Yeah. And it also breaks my heart about how a lot of the like dismissiveness of it is like these are young, stupid girls, like young and, you know, like fangirls. I remember Kristen and Caroline did an episode on how we kind of deride the fangirl. It's a part of life where you're growing and boys go through the same thing, but we don't are loving what they love.
And I think this is one of those times where I want to say, oh, we should do another episode on blah, blah, blah. But I've always thought that it's young girls who are the real kind of internet pioneers. Look at things like Tumblr. Look at things like meme culture. So much of that is fueled by very young girls online who are like left to their own devices. They really love this one thing. They're going to go all in on it. And I think it's actually quite innovative. Like, we don't think of young girls and their fandom as purveyors of internet innovation, but that's what they are. And we, because it's girls, because it's feminized, and because of our hangups around and anxieties around gender, people have to put it down. But if they could look at it with a fresh perspective, they would see, oh, these women and young girls actually are quite innovative. They're innovative creators who are, you know, carving out their own space of the internet.
Yeah, and I'm kind of, again, I had a really good experience with fan fiction. I'm sure this exists, like negativity exists, but for me, I didn't really stumble onto it. And I've been proud that generally nobody's making fun of another fandom, or at least if they are, they're like a quiet minority. So I like that. I think that, you know, write your One Direction fan fiction. I'm going to write my Harry Potter fan fiction. We're all just creating these things here. And I like that kind of judgment isn't there as much as you see with the male-dominated parts of fandom. Writing fan fiction may also give women that sense of community that we've talked so much about, which is even more important, research suggests, for lesbian and queer girls who wrote or found role models in slash fiction at times when they felt isolated. Elizabeth Minkle wrote in The New Statesman, "My preferred explanation," and she's talking about why fan fiction is sort of dominated by women, "is the idea that a vast majority of what we watch is from the male perspective, authored, directed, and filmed by men, and mostly straight white men at that. Fan fiction gives women and other marginalized groups the chance to subvert that perspective, to fracture a story and recast it in her own way. It often feels as if there isn't much space for difference in the dominant cultural narratives. In fandom, by design, there's space for it."
I love that. And even though I'm not someone who is super into fandom, that's the thing I find so beautiful, that it can be such an inclusive space where all different narratives get to be included.
Yeah. And we've touched on before having to prove your fandom as a woman, or fake geek girl fear. She's just faking it to infiltrate our fandom. And that's another thing that we'll have to return to. But it does play a role, and I think, in kind of the hangups we have around fan fiction and all the women writing it. This does bring us to Slash. It's finally time to talk about Slash. Okay, so first off, Slash is not always pornographic, like I've said many times. In fact, it's more often than not pornographic. And it's important to keep in mind when we unpack why most Slash is written by women. Just in case people aren't as tuned into this world as me, Slash is male, two men together. That's non-canon. So if we break down readership demographics, it's generally a 50-50 split between heterosexual readers and queer readers when it comes to Slash. It can differ depending on the fandom and the site. And there are a lot of theories as to why Slash is such a phenomenon. And I have one that I am now totally on board with and has changed my view of most media. For a while, personally, I had a theory it was because most well-developed characters we consume are male. Female options are limited. So most relationships we're seeing on screen are between two dudes. Think Everybody Cop movie or Kirk and Spock. So we're taking what we see and expounding upon it. Another idea I read that in particular in Japanese fan fiction, a slash might be preferred because it removes the pressures of marriage and that little line item we call pregnancy. No matter where you are, the female body is inherently political, and it comes with all of this invisible baggage that male bodies don't. And we could do a whole thing about slash in Asia. In Japan, where manga-based slash is called yaoi, the romance between two male characters usually still fits into the traditional, often regressive, masculine-feminine pairing. There's a pretty clear, like, this one was meant to be the masculine one, this one's meant to be the feminine one. It's pretty widely seen as a way for women to express their sexuality and desire and to experience the emotional aspects of relationships. 80% of the attendees at the 2003 YaoiCon in San Francisco were women.
That's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Slash or Denmai is popular among heterosexual women self-identified as rotten girls in China, too. An estimated 275 million people read slash fan fiction in China. Researchers into why posit it's because women like reading Danmai because it's a way for women to rebel in a society that expects women to be obedient. Owners of the sites hosting Danmai can be jailed by the government, and the readers are often described as needing psychiatric help. And a criticism I see about slash fairly regularly is that it makes it harder for gay men or gay characters to have platonic relationships, and that it fetishizes and objectifies gay men, particularly in more visual mediums like yaoi, which is, yeah, traditionally more visual. A counterpoint to that is that a decent portion of the women creating slash are not attracted to men, and almost all of the women writing slash grew up in a society that is prohibitive when it comes to women exploring their sexuality, one that shames women and objectifies their bodies. Male characters are a safe, shame-free way to dip your toe in, and kind of a funny way it removes the male gaze that women have internalized.
It's so fascinating how women are using this medium to sort of explore their own sexuality, but not even necessarily in a overtly sexualized way if they're not actually attracted to men.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the one that is, I feel like, has kind of changed how I look at all media. Because, like I said, I never liked the sex part of slash, but I did like slash fan fiction because of the relationships in there. And the more I think about it, the more I think it was because of this, because it was a safer way. It removed, the female body does come with all of this stuff that kind of almost takes you away from the story. You can't enjoy it as much because you, or at least I felt like as a woman, it almost makes me tense knowing she's going to have to deal with all of these things.
It's just like what you said before, women's bodies are inherently political. And so if the point of you consuming this media is to sort of get an escape from that, it makes sense that including a sexualized female body would only sort of add to your anxieties. It wouldn't be that, like, escape that you're looking for.
Yeah, and we have penned so many things to women in that the way they behave. I read an article by someone else who was saying she realized when she got older that almost every character she'd ever written, almost every fan fiction she'd ever read, all had, like, men in them, even though she's a feminist. And she was trying to get to the bottom of why that is, and she thinks it's because women are almost always passive or should be seen as passive, whereas male characters are men. They're active. They're aggressive. So if you're telling a story, you want, like, an active character. You don't want a passive character. And I think we've internalized so much about what society tells us is how a woman should behave and what we see in media that it is hard to escape it. If you introduce a woman into a story, whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, I think in the back of your head, there are all these assumptions that you're making that are perhaps making it hard to just enjoy it. After I read this, I started to think that maybe this is why we see so much bromance. As a culture, we've sexualized the female body so much that having a story with a female character played against a male character or another female character, it automatically becomes sexualized.
Yes. Even if it's platonic.
Exactly. You're thinking in the back of your head,
they're going to get together.
Exactly. But that doesn't happen with two male characters for male viewers, which is what media is has traditionally been made for, is male viewers, for the male gaze. And sometimes that comes through the writer, through the director, or sometimes it comes through the audience, just us observing. We might be putting that on there. I would say a lot of times we're putting that there, because that is what's been ingrained in us. But for so long, the female character has existed in the story solely for some kind of, like, objectification or sexual aspect. That's why she's there. I think we're moving away from that, but I think that is one of the reasons, perhaps, that so many women are writing slash with two male characters.
That hadn't even occurred to me, but that makes so much sense.
Yeah. I did have a moment of, like, fan fiction. You're changing my view on the world. Everything's making sense now. Over at the Hi-Hat, Melissa writes that Slash gives the author the chance to, quote, have the freedom of being male in their female bodies. I do think there is more freedom in the male body, I would say. And also, young straight men have a plethora of mainstream accepted media to help them explore their sexuality.
Definitely. They have an abundance.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Slash challenges gender norms, masculinity, femininity. I'm not sure the same fear would exist around male-authored femslash. If it were men writing sex between two women, I'm pretty sure we would just be like, oh, men, you know, just doing
man to man
thing. Yeah. Yeah. And a side note, in the article I was reading about the fear of fan fiction from Vox, they specifically call out the fact that despite having an all-male creative team, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, which is one of my favorites, is popularly read and turned into a homoerotic love story between the two men by young women. Which, as someone who dresses up as the Winter Soldier at conventions and sees this all the time for some reason in my Pinterest feed, I really appreciated it. When I read that, I was like, yep, I hadn't thought about it, but yes. We're going to take a quick break for a word for our sponsor.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect, whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Okay, so you can probably tell I am no fan fiction expert, but this I found really, really interesting and I wanted to include it. A quick note about celebrities. When reporters ask celebrities to comment on weird fan fiction, they are doing it to mock their fans. Probably neither the reporter nor the celebrity know about fan fiction, and that's fine. But then you wonder, like, why even talk about it at all? So there's this really infamous interview with Benedict Cumberbatch in Out magazine that really did a lot of this kind of thing, demeaning people who read fan fiction, who write fan fiction, and who are excited about fan fiction. But those fans took one phrase from that interview, that phrase is, quote, lustful monster, and put it in art. One actually put it on a T-shirt, and the sales of that shirt go to the nonprofit behind AO3, the Organization for Transformative Works. So that just goes to show you that these innovators are taking a reporter basically trying to make fun of them, making lemonade out of lemons, and using it to raise money for a great cause that they care about. Who'd have ever thought that lustful monster could generate such positive impact?
My heart is fit to burst. Fit to burst.
Do you own a lustful You should, if you had it, you would be wearing it today.
I didn't know this existed, but now I really want one. And another show I mentioned before, Supernatural, did a whole episode on fanfiction that's really difficult to explain without having the foundation of what that show is. But basically, the main characters have a cult following and stumble upon a high school that's putting on a musical about their lives. And this musical is almost exclusively put together by young women. It's pretty great because the two main characters of that show are pretty, like, macho dudes. And then they stumble upon these young ladies making a musical about their life. And at the end, one of the characters is like, look, I really don't like what you're doing. But I appreciate your right to do it, and you do it well.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah. And one of the actors from the show, Misha Collins, he has some really awesome quotes about fan fiction. For instance, when somebody asked him about Slash, because his character, as I mentioned earlier, Castiel and Dean, there's a lot of Slash about them, Destiel. When he was asked about it at a convention, he said, talking about Slash, I think it is a great cultural asset that unites the world and makes it better, which is lovely, which is lovely.
Author Danielle Beings wrote that her experience with fanfiction taught her that she wrote about common themes and would write with, quote, urgency, joy, and discipline. When she provided a Buffy the Vampire Slayer fiction as a sample for a previous work when applying for a writing program, she had to explain in her follow-up interview what fanfiction was and why she was drawn to it. It gave her the space to experiment with her voice freely and with characters and universes that she was comfortable with. And she got in and is now a two-time recipient of the Romance Writers of Australia Media Industry Award. So good for her. For all the men who are, like, looking down on it and shitting on it, it's actually changing people's lives.
Absolutely. It's just kind of this beautiful democratic thing. We have this industry of published fiction that has a lot of barriers, barriers socioeconomically, even having access to education to get the degree that's going to get agents to sign you. Like, there are barriers, but in the world of fan fiction, at its best, and yeah, again, going back to Binks, she says, fan fiction is a more accessible platform for writing and experimentation, and I'm all for it. And so am I. It's made me really, really happy to do this research, and also I really appreciate this world that we've kind of made for ourselves.
And Annie, I appreciate this master class in fan fiction.
I feel like I could really teach a class now. Believe it or not, I cut a lot of stuff out. I was like, and here's a sample of a crossover. Like, I had a sample for everything. You gotta calm down, Annie, or else we'll never leave the studio. Well, I hope that you listeners have enjoyed this as much as we have enjoyed putting it together. And please, if you're comfortable with it, send us some fan fiction that you've written. We're thinking about doing ongoing series of reading fan fiction, perhaps with some, like, production value.
Yeah, we've got a little project idea kicking around. So,
yeah.
Send us that fanfic.
Absolutely. And Bridget and I will jump in the fray. I will read my fan fiction.
I might.
Okay.
I might.
We'll
see.
Okay.
I gotta
psych yourself
up.
Yeah,
I gotta psych myself up a little bit.
Okay.
But speaking of asking people to send in their fan fiction, now it is time for some listener mail.
Skylar wrote, I wanted to share a small anecdote from my junior prom. We didn't have a specific dress code for prom other than formal attire and to use our brains on what is, quote, appropriate. It was definitely less strict than our school dress code. The administrators were more concerned with alcohol than dress, to their credit. Anyway, there was a group of about 10 guys that chose not to wear shirts under their vest. Somehow that qualified as formal. They were confronted by the chaperones eventually for jumping on and over tables.
Come to find out, she went to high school with the Chippendales dancers.
Yes. That sounds like it could happen in a fan fiction, honestly.
It does. It does. Our next email is from Sarah. Sarah writes, I just listened to your episode on prom, and I thought it was so interesting. It really got me thinking about my own prom experiences. I never thought I would consider my school liberal, but when it comes to prom, it definitely is. We don't have a prom dress code, and two girls or two guys buy the couple's prom ticket all the time, because it's cheaper than buying two singles. Listening to the controversies and activism around prom and comparing them to how my school handles the same issue was fascinating. I lit up when you mentioned how you wish you'd worn a suit to prom, because that's exactly what I did. I'd worn dresses to every single school dance before my senior prom, but I went on vacation to France a month before prom and impulse bought these fabulous glittery pink saddle shoes. Of course, I had to base my entire prom look around them, my makeup, my jewelry, my manicure, and the vest and tie. My mom completely supported me, although I felt super awkward at first, as can happen when you're defying gender expectations. I got so many compliments. My other friends were complaining about how they couldn't breathe in their dresses, how their strapless bras kept slipping, but I got to be comfortable and stylish. Suits are the way to go, man. Sarah, I'm, like, living vicariously through you. I wish I'd worn a suit to prom, and I wish I had pink, sparkly saddle shoes.
She sent a picture, and That was a dope outfit.
Oh,
so good.
Sarah, well done.
Yes, well done. Thanks to both of them for writing in. Thanks, as always, to our producers, Dylan Fagan and Kathleen Quillian. We would love to hear from you. Please send those fan fiction, please. Or any other thoughts that you have. Our email is momstuff@howstuffworks.com. You can also find us on Twitter @momstuff and on Instagram @stuffmomnevertoldyou.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure.
To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.